Welcome to the program for Tuesday, January 17th, 2012, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every Tuesday in the 3 o'clock hour, we take you into the Executive Suite. Our series features the biggest federal government decisions being made at the highest levels, and we talk to the decision makers who make those decisions. This month, we're talking to C-level executives in government about the results of several surveys we've conducted. And you've already heard our Chief Human Capital Officer's survey conversation with Catherine Medina. You've also heard our CAO survey conversation with Dan Gordon, both of those available on federalnewsradio.com. Today, I am pleased to welcome the Chief Information Officer at the Commerce Department, Simone Zickman, for a conversation about the results of our CIO survey priorities for 2012. Simone, great to see you. Thanks for coming in today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Happy to have you. Joining me in the conversation is my colleague, Jason Miller, who set up these surveys and helped to conduct them. Jason, good to have you back in here.
It's always fun to talk CIO stuff.
As you look over the results of this, Simone, and I know you're speaking for yourself and not for everybody in the entire CIO community and government, but overall, before we get into some of the specifics, anything that jumped out at you about what your colleagues are thinking according to the survey?
Well, I think if you look at some of the things that CIOs have identified as challenges in the past, they certainly remain challenges, but I think the trends are certainly moving in the right direction in terms of strengthening the CIO roles and making CIOs better able to start managing IT portfolios across organizations and departments.
We have the results of the CIO survey 2012 priorities posted for you now at federalnewsradio.com. A few quick notes about some of the demographics. Small agency CIOs were 50% of the respondents, cabinet agency CIOs 41.7, and large agencies 8.3. The overwhelming majority of the respondents were in their jobs for 1 to 3 years, 2/3 of the respondents in that time frame, 16% in the 4 to 6 year range, 12.5% in the 6 years plus range, and the rest less than a year. And about 88% of the respondents, career employees, and the rest, political appointees. All right, Simone, as we look overall at the priorities for 2012, we listed 10 potential priorities for this coming year. The highest priorities were cybersecurity and mobile computing. I'm sure that's not a surprise based on the coverage that we've seen of these issues over the last couple of weeks, months.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely not a surprise. And I think what's interesting is that those are two areas that are rising to the top of priorities, but really with different types of drivers. Mm-hmm. Cybersecurity has clearly been an area of importance for the government as a whole for quite a long period of time. But mobile computing is really emerging, I think, as a priority, not from a mandate as much as it is just a significant new customer demand for mobile computing and support for new technologies.
These are two areas where we hear a lot from OMB and from industry, innovation, innovation, innovation. What are you seeing as far as the innovation that's available to you in these two areas? Are you seeing what you need to solve some of the challenges that are involved with these two areas?
I think you probably would need to look at the two separately. I think in the area of cybersecurity, it's a constant cat and mouse game between continually improving and more sophisticated adversaries and the government trying to keep up its defenses. I would say, though, just based on my experience, a large portion of what needs to be done in the area of cybersecurity is not necessarily driven by innovation. It's also driven by best practices and good implementation of what's already available. Mobile computing, on the other hand, I think clearly is being driven by innovation. And in the past, IT in the government was frequently driven by enterprise types of computing. I think what we're seeing in mobile computing is it's really a consumer market that's now starting to migrate into the federal space based on demand by users.
Okay, a couple nuggets there I want to dig into. You used the term cat and mouse game to talk about cybersecurity. I think there was maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, a sense that at least in the federal community, at some point we can move beyond that. At some point we'll get this situation under control and that cat and mouse game will go away. Now it seems that there is a sense that that's how it's always going to be because the bad guys will continue to evolve just as we're continuing to meet challenges and try to address threats. Is that a fair assessment of what you're seeing and understanding?
I think there's certainly a hope that things will get under control, but I think it's inevitable that this will continually be an area where there's increasing sophistication on both the attacker side and defensive side, and that the sophistication of adversaries doesn't look like it's slowing down.
Do you have a sense that maybe we're approaching a corner, if not yet turning the corner, on being able to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to cybersecurity threats?
I think we are, and one of the major developments over the, let's say, past small number of years is just the change in mindset from what had previously been a really compliance-oriented, document-based approach to cybersecurity, and now starting to look more closely at operational security implementation and testing of controls and more real-time continuous monitoring so that you can have situational awareness of, mm-hmm. of what your current infrastructure looks like. So I think certainly we're making some fundamental philosophical changes to how we do risk management that are certainly beneficial.
We're going to talk about continuous monitoring later on in the program, of course.
Well, one of the things that stood out to me about the CIOs who listed the priorities were while mobile computing was among the top three, cloud computing was in the top five. And in many ways, and what I'm hearing from CIOs, is agencies need to kind of move to the cloud to help with their mobile strategy. It's kind of, they're almost hand in hand. Is that true from what you're seeing, or can you kind of go mobile without necessarily being in the cloud?
I think you can go independently, but they're certainly complementary in the sense that you can use mobile devices to access a cloud-based infrastructure. From my own experience, I think the move to the cloud is also significantly linked with one of the other priorities, which is addressing IT spending and efficiencies and effectiveness. I think the move to the cloud is just providing more effective IT service delivery and infrastructure delivery models, and that frees up resources to invest in other areas.
Are those areas, is that investment, though, staying in the IT realm, or is that something where somebody, maybe the CFO or somebody else not IT, is saying, hey, great, Simone, thanks for saving this money for us. We're going to take it over here and stick it in this program.
I think it's certainly a combination of both, and so as not to paint CFOs with a bad brush, honestly, they're on the hook to produce significant levels of budget cuts on behalf of their agencies at the request of OMB, and so I certainly don't think it's viewed as negative as much as it is just the reality.
Yeah, don't make those CFOs mad.
Yeah.
they're like the Incredible Hulk. You wouldn't like them if they get angry, right?
Absolutely.
A couple of the elements that are at the bottom of this list, I have to confess, surprised me. Not as much a priority on open government transparency. Data center consolidation showed up at toward the bottom of the priority list. And implementing agile or modular software development showed up at the bottom. Any thoughts about why you think some people may not be paying as much attention to those as some of the other issues?
It's hard for me to say. I think at least in the areas of open government and data center consolidation, I would say it's not as much a lack of importance as it is a lack of need for immediate attention, because those are slightly more mature areas. They're mm-hmm. areas that agencies have been focusing on for months, if not a good couple of years. And so I think some of the other areas are rising up just because they consume more of CIO's immediate attention on a day-to-day basis.
So they're important. They're just they don't rise to the level of some of the really big things at the top of
exactly.
the list. I see. Okay.
So what I found interesting, though, is that, and this is something Francis and I have talked before, is the open government. That in some ways didn't surprise me, because one of the things that we have not heard over the last year or so is a lot about open government. Not that it's gone away, but it's just seems to be less of a priority. You don't hear people talking about it. You don't hear people being excited about it. It's almost like, all right, we did it, move on. And that's where data center consolidation comes in. I don't know if you get that feeling, or maybe you view it differently than kind of what we do in the press when we go to events and look for memos and things like that.
I think part of it just has to do in the area of open government with where the impact is. I'm a strong supporter of open government. I think transparency is a very good thing. But if you look at where the impact is, it's really public-facing. All of the organizations and individuals outside of the government that have access to data, they can use it in various ways. But I would suspect that the CIOs tend to focus on what has more immediate impact on their world, their management domains, and the work that they need to accomplish.
One final thought on this list of priorities as they were ranked in order by the CIOs that took the survey. I noticed that workforce and training got votes all across the spectrum, but not enough in any one particular level to be the number one area, to be the number one priority in a particular area. What does that say to you about the way that different CIOs, do you think, view workforce training and so on in the, maybe in the context of the budget situation that we're in?
I think it's one of those areas that everybody recognizes is very important, but there are so many other highly pressing issues or other mandates that it's always hard to put workforce training in your top couple of, mm-hmm. of priorities. In the context of budget cuts, I think there's, at least in every conversation I've been a part of, there's a strong recognition that despite the budget climate that we're facing right now, people shouldn't be letting workforce training, workforce development, and even at the not just technical training, but leadership development, shouldn't let those types of investments lapse too far, because that's an investment for the future that's important.
All right, budget issues are one of the things that we address directly in one of the questions in our survey, and we'll talk about that next when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Commerce Department CIO Simone Zickman here to talk about our Priorities 2012 CIO Survey when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to the Executive Suite every Tuesday in the 3 o'clock hour. We hear from leaders in the federal government about the decisions that they're making. Next Tuesday in our series, Labor Department Chief Financial Officer Jim Taylor will be in our studio to talk about the results of our CFO Priorities 2012 survey. January 31st, the following Tuesday, Shelley Metzenbaum from the Office of Management and Budget will be here to talk about the results of our Performance Improvement Officer survey. And today, of course, our Chief Information Officer survey with some thoughts about it from Simone Zickman, the CIO at the Commerce Department. Thank you again for coming in today. It's good to have you here. One of the questions in our survey is we talked about, oh, I apologize.
Am I not here today?
You're here.
Thank you.
I'm so used to you being here, and I'm so comfortable with your presence.
I was going to say, it's not like I'm a co-host. Come on.
That's my colleague, Jason Miller, our executive editor, and set up the survey. And it joins me in talking to Simone about the results of this survey. One of the questions has to do with the impact of potential budget cuts. 29% of our respondents answered not having the ability to spend a little to save a lot. Same amount, mission-critical IT needs go unmet, and almost as many, 25% responding, hiring freeze prevents you from bringing on critical IT people. I don't know what your hiring situation is at Commerce. Do you have a hiring freeze in place right now?
We have, I would say, a soft freeze, which means that we're putting a lot high degree of scrutiny on any hires that we do, but it's not officially a hiring freeze where we are refusing to do any hiring at all.
So you have to make a pretty strong business case for bringing somebody in. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
All right. So that one may not be as much of a priority for you. Can I ask you how you responded to this question?
I would say that I responded in that first category, not having the ability to spend a little to save a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The issue there again, in terms of the infrastructure that I'm dealing with, is when you have an aging infrastructure, often a more cost-effective infrastructure is one that needs to be modernized. You want to move from physical infrastructure to virtualized infrastructure, or if you want to move from multiple data centers to consolidated data centers, or even move from an existing data center out into the cloud,
mm-hmm.
all of those transitions require investment in new capabilities and more modern infrastructure, and so the ability to make the investment up front to save the funds down the line is sometimes a challenge.
And I think that's the shortcoming of this talk about budget cuts, and I know that we're not going to get into politics because we don't do that, but this idea, and it's not been just since this Congress and this president, but I think all along when it comes to IT, that's been the missing piece that Congress, I think, has had some trouble with. And I'm going to look at Francis when I say this, so it'll keep you out of the political realm there, Simone. But the idea that if an agency can spend a little money, the long-term savings is there. And I think it goes back to also our conversation, Francis, you and I have had about doing less with less.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of conversation that Congress just doesn't seem to really grasp on.
Yeah, the conversation that revolves around the idea that if you're going to give us X number of percent of what we have now, a smaller number ostensibly, and you're going to give us Y fewer people to do it, then what Z part of the mission do we no longer have to do? I've heard more conversations, Simone, in the last year about life cycle costs in not just IT systems, but in all kinds of programs in government than I heard probably in the previous 10 years combined. And yet you're right. It seems like they're kind of 180 degrees opposite each other. Focusing on life cycle costs is one side of that coin. And the other side is what's the least expensive way I can do it today because of how tight the budget situation is. How do you balance that?
I think it's just a matter of prioritizing and doing what you can and putting off what you're simply not able to do. But certainly in many of these cases, there is a hump to get over initially in order to move to cost-effective, best practice types of technologies. And I think that's one area where the private sector, I think, has been a little more successful in terms of making those investments, those upfront investments to produce those savings down the line.
All right. Another question on our survey has to do with the one-year anniversary of the 25-point plan, Vivek Kundra releasing that plan a little over a year ago now. And the number one response, it's improving how IT is managed by my agency, about 38%. About a third responded, it's too early to say if it's having an effect, and about 30% saying it's not having an effect on how my agency manages IT. Has the 25-point plan made a difference in maybe not necessarily how you manage IT day-to-day, but in how you conceptualize it, how you think about it, and how you plan for the future?
I think in some ways, yes. I think certainly in the case of commerce, it has led to some improvements. But I would say it hasn't been as much a forcing function pushing us in a particular direction as it has a lighthouse that we could, say, align with. Because what was in the 25-point plan was really a lot of best practices, admittedly ones that weren't always implemented as broadly as they could have been. But it certainly provided a lot of support for doing things that we either wanted to be doing already or should have been doing in the first place. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, it's provided a lot of support for us.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Vivek Kundra said, the former federal CIO, said time and again is, I didn't just come up with this plan sitting in a corner and you know, writing it down. I asked the CIOs what their priorities were, what they wanted to work on. And I believe that. I think that's probably a fair assessment. Do you see that as things have moved forward with the 25-point plan, they're meeting some of your short-term and long-term needs? Meaning the initiatives in the plan.
Yes. I would say they are focused on the way I looked at it is they focused on a couple of different things. One is the efficiencies, coming up with more efficient service delivery capabilities, data center consolidation, and cloud computing. There were areas that were focused on effectiveness, improving program management, and improving general investment management with the tech stat reviews. And then there was a sort of a focus on workforce and the development of cadre, as one example, a cadre of IT acquisition professionals. So it's hitting a lot of those areas that are important to doing better business in IT management.
Would you point to one or two things that at Commerce you could say that's really affected us well or we've been able to take and run with?
I would say that, in our case, we've been just trying to align what we've wanted to do with the priorities and use that plan for support. One of the areas that we've had some successes with over the past year is the area of strategic sourcing, which is sort of the term of art for commodity IT purchasing. And we've been already achieving some modest savings, but are projecting some considerably more significant savings as we move forward with our initiatives.
My colleagues, Jason Miller and I are talking to Simone Zickman, the Chief Information Officer at the Commerce Department, about the results of our Priorities 2012 survey in the Chief Information Officer community in government. You can read the results of that survey online now at federalnewsradio.com. A lot made of moving to the cloud, and we'll talk about the cloud when In-Depth continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thanks for listening to In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, reviewing the results of our Chief Information Officer's 2012 Priorities Survey with Simone Zickman of the Commerce Department. I have my colleague Jason Miller joining me in the conversation. And Simone, a number of the questions on our survey dealt with a similar subject, asked in different ways, and revealing some interesting results. But I want to try to combine them together. Before we go there, I wanted to see if there's we're talking during the break about security and cloud computing and risk management and so forth. What are some of the things that we should take away from this conversation when it comes to risk management and so forth?
I think the area of risk management is also one of the things that is perhaps in some cases an inhibitor for moving to the cloud. And I think that's why you see organizations moving things like web hosting, things that are perceived as being low risk. I think, as we discussed earlier, FedRAMP is going to help provide some confidence in terms of the risk levels and the assurances of security by providing baselines that the service providers are being audited against. And I think also it's just going to take some time for people to develop the trust in these types of services and get comfortable with them. But again, I do think that things will continue to move in that direction.
As I mentioned, a number of the questions in our survey deal with, pretty blunt, financial issues. I believe my agency's senior decision makers, secretary, deputy secretary, CFO, value my input. A question about who you report to at your particular agency. Senior management understands the value IT can bring. Authority over IT purchases. A lot of these questions can be kind of rolled into one concept, which is, what's the relationship look like between the chief information officer, the chief financial officer, and the head of the organization? I see a different picture than I think we would have seen had we done this 2 years ago, where the CIO has more autonomy, has more authority, and has more credibility with the top of the organization. And do you think that's a fair conclusion for me to draw?
I think so, and certainly in the Department of Commerce, that is the case. There's a very strong, effective set of relationships that exist at those top levels. I have an excellent relationship with Scott Quayle, the CFO at the Department of Commerce. We're very strongly aligned on priorities, and frankly, I couldn't imagine a better relationship, because I feel that I have his personal support for moving my priorities forward, and certainly it would be extremely difficult for any CIO to get things done if that weren't the case.
If I'm one of your colleagues, though, and I'm sitting at another agency listening to this, and I'm going, well, I don't have that kind of a relationship here, what makes that relationship work for you? How do you build that in a place where it doesn't exist right now?
In my view, it comes down to people. Mm-hmm. And effective communications. It really, the start of it is a relationship more than it is a written document or a policy. And so I think it comes down to people and effective relationship development.
Because it strikes me that that's exactly the issue. It's not something where somebody can say, well, you guys should get along well and you guys should work together well. It really isn't an evolutionary process, I imagine. It's a development process. Is that fair to say?
I certainly agree. And I was already having conversations with the CFO about department priorities really on day one, even a little bit before the official day one, since we were in discussions shortly before that. But mm-hmm. you can't mandate by policy that people work together well. It really has to come from a good relationship.
I think this is the one area that really stood out to me from the survey, the results. Because one of the things that CIOs have talked about for years, and ever really since Klinger-Cohen over the last 15 years, is, do they have a seat at the table, and how big is their seat? And I don't mean that in the sense of they have to have the largest seat, or it's not the three bears, right, with the little seat, mama seat, and daddy seat. But I think the fact is that during the survey, we asked two basic questions. I believe my senior agency's senior decision makers value my input. 66, almost 67% agreed with that statement. And 29% said sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So that, I think, is a significant one. But the other one that was significant was we asked the question, my agency's senior management understands the value IT can bring to my agency. And almost 80% said agree with that statement. And 16% said sometimes. So almost 96% sees value. And I think that is such a change from, I think, previous.
I certainly agree. It's, in my view, a huge change. If I had to guess in advance the results of that question, I would have guessed significantly less, because I remember in the past hearing the mantra, well, they just don't get it, they being the senior decision makers regarding the value and impact of IT. So certainly I think there's been a positive change in that respect.
And I think part of it is time, and I think part of it is maybe the who. And not Obama administration per se, but you have a next generation of leaders who have come in, and they, while maybe are still in their 60s or 50s and maybe 70s to some extent, technology grew up around them. And I think it's just, would you agree it's a generational thing? And I don't mean like young versus old, but just the next round of people who have come in.
I think that could certainly be it. And I think it's also showing an evolution in the sorts of people who have risen to the IT leadership roles and those types of positions. I think they're, again, going back to my comment about building relationships, the importance of effective communications can't be understated, and I think people don't recognize the value without sometimes having it presented to them.
You mentioned your relationship with the CFO. Do you guys have a weekly meeting?
We meet more often than weekly, typically twice a week, and sometimes more often when we need to. And also we meet regularly with the deputy secretary, again, having the proverbial seat at the table. Mm. There's that table is frequently used. And I think everybody there, including a mix of political and non-political people, has a strong valued voice.
Simone Zickman is the Chief Information Officer at the Department of Commerce and our guest to talk about the results of our 2012 Priorities Survey in the Chief Information Officer community in the federal government. My colleague Jason Miller and I will wrap up our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, looking at the results of our 2012 Priorities Survey in the Chief Information Officer community in the federal government. You can see the results for yourself at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Jason Miller, the executive editor of Federal News Radio, joining me in studio along with Simone Zickman, the Chief Information Officer at the Commerce Department. We've covered a pretty broad swath, Simone, of the issues and challenges and priorities that you and your colleagues are dealing with in the CIO community and government for the coming year. Is there anything that we didn't get to that's on your mind that is something that you know that your colleagues are thinking about, working on, or whatever?
I think just a matter of timing relative to when the survey was released, I think the two areas that have sort of emerged as priorities since then are the area of shared services. Mm-hmm. There's a new shared services strategy that's currently in draft being circulated, and then the area of mobile computing, which we touched on as one of the priorities, but from a strategy perspective was only announced, in fact, just last week as a new area where OMB is developing a strategy. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are areas that will continue to be areas of importance. But again, I think those would be high priority areas even independent of the OMB government strategies because of the drivers that are really behind them. I think the demand for mobile services is one that's there, whether there's an OMB push or not. And the focus on shared services, I think, is something that, given the budget climate right now and the outlook for the next few years, everybody really has a strong self-interest in pursuing shared services for greater efficiencies.
Yeah, you talked about the transition in the mobile computing market in particular from an enterprise-driven environment to a consumer-driven environment. How is that changing the way that you manage infrastructure or manage devices or any of that?
It creates challenges because people are interested in having technology their way, mm-hmm, rather than our way. And so the whole issue of being able to cost-effectively manage an infrastructure becomes more interesting as you have more diversity in the infrastructure. You have larger, different types of devices that need to be supported, or in some cases just making hard decisions about what won't be supported. But mm-hmm, but certainly it's a whole set of new questions that need to be dealt with.
Let's focus on those two areas real quick. Mobile computing, the strategy is still coming. There's still a lot of questions out there. Does Commerce have a mobile strategy yet, or is it something you're developing?
Right now, I think, like many places in the government, maybe most, we are currently doing a significant amount of pilot testing of different types of capabilities, different types of devices, different types of infrastructure and management capabilities around those devices. So we're really trying to do quite a bit of learning at the moment. I wouldn't say we have developed a strategy. We're trying to develop the knowledge base that will allow us to have a good strategy when we get there.
Simone, I appreciate your time. We have a million more things we'd love to cover and not enough time to do it. But I'm grateful for your time to come in and talk about this survey and talk about what you're doing at the Commerce Department. Thank you very much.
Very happy to be here.
Simone Zickman's the Chief Information Officer at the Commerce Department, and you can read the results of our CIO survey, the 2012 Priority Survey, posted now on Federal News Radio.